right, we're back. Second half of the program here. So we're warming up for the hot stove. This is kind of like post-Thanksgiving. We're warming up for what's going to be a wild couple of weeks. I think there's a lot of stuff that's going to come out over the next 3 or 4 weeks leading into Christmas. I think as Mets fans, we're going to have spaces that we're going to have to do on X. We're going to have emergency podcasts, late night surprises. Like, there's stuff that's going to happen. I know we've been all about the value signings and, you know, trash or treasure. I still owe you a trash or treasure. I did a whole lot in a little over at Beyond the Mic. I broke down some interesting non-tenders the Mets should look at. But, you know, there's going to be big stuff going on. So Soto's the big fish. Maybe he's going to Boston. Maybe he's coming to the Mets. Maybe the Yankees step it up. Who knows? We don't know. We're going to find out soon enough. But what about a life without Soto? And some of this we could worm into how it applies to Soto. So I think there are three areas that the Mets really have to figure out when it comes to, and I'll start with the offense because that's what Soto impacts. We know they need pitching. I know they need to figure out what their starting rotation is going to look like. Clearly, they still want to go value-driven in the bullpen behind Diaz. It is what it is. I hope that they look at an Estevez or a Hoffman or, you know, maybe a Tanner Scott. You know, I don't know if they're willing to pay somebody. I know if somebody's willing to take that money. Well, they're always willing to take that money, but they're going to have to pay a closer to be another closer. That's what they're going to have to do. They're not going to pay somebody to be a setup man with A-plus setup money. They're going to have to pay someone and say, you're not my closer, but I'm paying you like my closer. And you'll probably get 10 to 15 saves, and Diaz will get 20 to 25 saves. He's the main guy. But, you know, who knows? Maybe Diaz proves that, you know, having another closer, he's better suited elsewhere. But you didn't pay Diaz $20 million a year to be a setup man. But anyway, forget that for now. First base, DH, and right field. And right now, I feel like Jeff McNeil at second base is still a pretty good option. He had a really good second half. I know he did a lot of damage against Miami coming out of the break. Everybody's ready to throw him off the island, but the Mets are very fortunate that Jose Iglesias had a really big September and had that 20-something game hitting streak and did all the things that he did, because losing McNeil's bat to the broken finger was a big deal that Saturday afternoon when I found out about it. It was a big deal. He has versatility. He's got some pop in that bat. Yes, I know that he talked about moving away from hunting hits with his going all the different ways, you know, bleeder here, this and that, and just hitting the ball hard. And maybe he's figured something out and has like a Daniel Murphy back half of a career. We'll see. But those three areas right now, as of today, after Thanksgiving, are areas that need to be addressed. Now, first base is the easiest one because you basically have Pete Alonso, who's been here, probably, you know, we think wants to be here, has no problem, coming back for the right price, obviously. And John Heyman actually, I just brought it up. He was predicting some things here. It was interesting. John Heyman had like 14 years, 600 and something million for Soto, which makes you wonder, because John is very tight with Boris. I'm not saying he's doing anything wrong here. John is very tight with Boris. 14 years, 630, which is, kind of some of the things you've seen floated around there. Makes you wonder. I do laugh how he says how the Dodgers and the Giants, the Blue Jays, the Red Sox, and maybe and the surprising Rays are in the Rays are the Rays don't even have a roof on their ballpark. How are they? Come on, John. Just because they call doesn't mean they're in it. Come on. I like you, John, but come on. So, he has Pete at 6 years, $152 million. I think that's very reasonable. I think that's where he's at. I think that's his market. I know that's very similar to what he turned down about a year or so ago. And unfortunately for Pete, I think that's where he's at. Unless there's somebody who's willing to overpay, you know, and if Soto goes somewhere else, does Boris put a little bit of a scare in the Mets for fear that they could be left without a power bat and, you know, get a few extra million to get closer to that 30 a year number that I think originally Pete was probably looking for when he first hired Boris a couple of years ago? Maybe, but I'm not so sure. First base to me is the easiest one because, let's face it, the guy that you know has been successful is out there. Now, you could always say, you know, sign a value deal with a Paul Goldschmidt coming off a down year. Is Christian Walker and his glove a better option? My problem with Christian Walker is he's doing it in a small market. He's older than Pete. And yes, I love the glove. I love anywhere there's leather on the field, I love it. That's always the case. I don't care, especially up the middle, but I love leather. I love good defense. There's no way in first base, good defense. You saw that with the scoops and Pete. That's big. You know, they could, it could save some errors. And anybody who could do more than just scoops and improve on the range and all sorts of other things, work a little bit better on the bunt. You saw, you know, Pete do some goofy things on bunts. You know, that's even better. That's even better. But is Walker a guy that's going to get a contract in New York, come from a small market, come to a team with World Series or bust expectations, and will he thrive under that? Making money. You know, I'm not saying he's going to be making Pete money, but making money. We don't know. And that is a bit of a risk. So I think finding a solution for Pete that's palatable. I know that there's some risk to a 6 or 7 year deal. Maybe you spread out the payments a little bit. Maybe he's interested in deferred money. Who knows? Maybe you play that game with Pete Alonso. Does he want some money after his career is over? Pete's a good guy. I know he has flaws to his game. I love what he does to help animals. So I have a soft spot for that little graphic that comes up every time, you know, with shelter pets and everything like that, rescue dogs, rescue animals, maybe cats are in there too. I always have a soft spot for Pete. I don't want to give him a blank check, but that's the solution. Now, you have no DH, and JD Martinez is not an option. He's done. I feel that Father Time has picked him up. And I think DH is the area, and this is what's interesting. Without Soto in the mix, where is the next? So let's say Pete re-signs. You got Pete. You got your power bat back. You got Lindor. You got McNeil at second. You got Pete. For now, you got Vientos at third. You got Alvarez behind the plate. You got the glove in center and Siri with Taylor in there too. You got Nimmo in left. So really, you got right field and DH where you could upgrade your offense before you get into the pitching. Now, there's a couple of ways you could go here. Now, at right field, there's Santander. Now, I know our good friend, contributor to Beyond the Mic, David Mills, talked about Santander. He's not a glove guy. You'll have Tyrone Taylor late in games. A switch hitter in his prime, late 20s, 40-plus home run power. You combine him and Alonso together, that's a lot of home runs. That's a lot of pop in the middle of the order. You could bludgeon some teams. That's something that they haven't been able to do, even in the glory 101 season of 2022. They were never able to bludgeon bad teams and put games away. With these two guys in the middle of the order, you might be able to do that. Maybe Alvarez starts to find his stroke. Now you got three guys with serious pop in the middle of the order. That could be interesting at this point. And if you spread them out a little bit, you could get that pop throughout the lineup. Now, the question is, and this will come up more with the pitching. In his prime, are you getting, you know, he's improved every year since pandemic. Are you getting the best years? And if it's a 4 or 5, if it's a 5-year deal, now Heyman says Santander. Let me see what he says Santander could get here. Oh, Heyman, where's your predictions? I was just looking at this. This just came out. 5 years, $100 million. Oh, that's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal. $20 million a year. That's a pretty good deal. Maybe he wants a little more AAV, give a higher AAV, shave a year. You know, maybe that's something he could do, get to free agency a year earlier. What's important to him, we'll see. I'm okay with that. Now, he's not Soto, but he's a good bat. Again, a guy coming from Baltimore, a guy that I think he strikes out quite a bit. So let me just get, because I don't watch him enough. So I'm really going by just numbers here. I mean, he doesn't strike out terribly. I mean, his on base isn't terribly high. He doesn't walk a terrible amount, a good amount. You know, he's switch hitter. What else can I tell you about him here? You guys probably might know more about him. If he's on your fantasy team or something than I do, you know, splits. What'd he do last year? Hits pretty good both sides. Lots to like about him. You know, more power. Obviously, he gets more run against right-handed pitching, so he hits lefty more. Not a bad. I mean, it's not Soto. It's a bit of a buzzkill, but not bad. So you go, okay, now you sign Pete. You sign Santander. The total with those two might be less than what Soto was going to get. Now, I'm not advocating going that route and moving away from Soto, but you can do that. You can do that. And you have the glove to help out, you know, later in the ballgame. Now, you're going to ask, what about Marte? See, Marte, to me, he's making $20 million. You have to eat salary. I wouldn't just dump him. Now, there's another, and I think this is something you guys have to really wrap your head around. The offseason without Soto might not get sexy. There may be activity. There may be money spent, but it may not be sexy. I'm not saying it's going to be value contracts like last year with Manaea and Severino, but it may be B free agents getting B money, not overpaying, maybe overpaying in some cases. What do you think about then bringing Winker back and Marte and splitting them at DH? Marte had an OPS over 800 against lefties. Winker hits righties at a high 700s OPS against righties. And maybe combined with the two, you get that spit and vinegar with Winker back. You get maybe 20 homers, 85 RBIs, a 275 batting average. It seemed like anytime there was a big rally in the playoffs, Milwaukee, Atlanta, even in Philly with his big hit to give some insurance runs, Marte was in the middle of it. I don't think he could play every day. I think he's 110 or so games a year. But I don't know if his bat is done. He looked a lot better since his surgery. And rather than just gift him to somebody and say, okay, Miami, he likes being in Miami. He's played there before. We'll pay half his salary or all his salary. Just get him out of here. You know, we need to make up, give me some reliever or whatever. Like, why not put him to use? And then that also leaves the DH spot open, maybe if Mauricio is healthy and you get him in there later, or even to rotate. You don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. Where JD Martinez was supposed to be a core elite bat in the middle of that order, but that's all he could do is DH, you don't have that problem anymore. These guys can play the outfield, God forbid. Now, I don't think Winker or Marte are guys you want in the outfield consistently. They can play, and they're not a disaster. But they're not Tyrone Taylor, and they're certainly not going to give you defense like Jose Siri. You know, obviously, at this point. So there's your DH. You got right field done. You got first base done. You got your DH done. Now, at that point, do you then say to yourself, what about third base? You got Vientos. Now, the other part you could do here is move Vientos to DH if you don't like my Marte Winker situation. Move Vientos to third base. And I don't know if they would do this with Santander or this would be in lieu of Santander. Maybe they do Marte Winker and they rather than play the outfield and then bring in for defense and right. I don't really particularly care. Maybe they don't value defense and right as much because they got Siri. But do you then go a Bregman or an Adames? Now, Bregman's interesting. You know, he's going to want $30 to $35 million a year. I mean, I think the top of the third base market is Rendon with like $35 million a year. So he's going to want $30 to $35 million a year. And he's got some interesting red flags because his walk rate dropped precipitously. He's a guy that walked more than he struck out, which is not common in today's ballgame. And he's never been as good as 2018 or 2019. Now, all the naysayers are going to say, well, he's not stealing signs. Maybe. He's an elite defensive player. He won a gold glove. It allows you to put Vientos at DH. And look, I like Vientos, and he had a big postseason, but he has a lot to prove. There's the sophomore slump, which is a real thing. The league is going to know a little bit more about him. He doesn't walk a hell of a lot. There's always been the concerns against the elite hard-throwing pitching. He's not going to be able to get the job done. You have to be able to put him in a position where if he needs time to figure stuff out or drops off a little bit, it's not the end of the world. Bregman will do that. But there is a decline. And I mean, there was one rumor that he wanted like a 10 or 11-year deal. I mean, if you want to spread out $350 million, maybe that's what they do, or $300 million or whatever, but I think that's a little bit ridiculous. Nothing will surprise me in this game anymore. Trust me on that. And I mean, look, the other thing you got to think about with Bregman, I mean, what happens when if Soto signs with the Red Sox, and now it's, you know, the Yankees are going to need to spend money. They're not going to not spend any money. Like, now you're competing with them, some of these B and C free agents. Then it could get interesting out there. Then those free agents got to decide, do you want to play for the Mets or do you want to play in the Bronx at that point? Now, the other name that's come up, and what's interesting is that, so Heyman had, let me see if I could get this up here. Heyman had Bregman at 7 years, 170. I have no problem with a deal like that. He had Willy Adames at 7 years, 180. So he had Willy Adames making a little bit more. Now, Willy Adames, a little bit younger, a couple of years younger than Bregman. And is he a clone offensively of Vientos? Maybe with a little bit more walk, a little bit more on base. But he's a a good defender at short, elite defender at short from what it looks like. And I'm sure that could translate to third. He's talked about wanting to play third. Does he want to stay at short? Does he want to go third? He's got that spit and vinegar. Maybe bring him and Winker back. They could just duke it out in the clubhouse in spring training, get it over with from last October. The thing about Adames is he's improved. Like, are you getting the best version of Santander, Adames, like, heading into their prime? See, Bregman's on the back half. He's north of 30. You got to hope he sustains. These guys might be getting the best of. And if you stick to that, I mean, it looks like there's going to be a seven-year deal here. Now, here's the funny part. I have decided to do something different. And you're going to laugh at me, and you want to email me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com, no G. You want to email me and make jokes, so be it. I am so frustrated with players that I don't watch day in and day out finding out about their defense. Because it's so hard until you watch them. Even with a guy like Lindor, like people would who don't watch him every day would say, well, he never gets involved in these gold glove conversations. Is he as good as you think? He's good range. You see him. So what do? I go to Stratomatic. Why not? Stratomatic goes and talks to scouts. Stratomatic does the research. Obviously, they take analytics into play. They have a range factor. They have an error factor, so you know if the guy has just range, but it throws the ball around. And, you know, that's how I'm going to do it from now on. That's how I looked at Jose Siri and said, okay, yes, I agree. Jose Siri, yes, I saw all the outs above average and all this crazy stuff, which sometimes I don't always quite understand. But good old Stratomatic's going to be my Bible now. And I had the 2020. Now, they haven't done the 2024 ratings yet. That comes out after Christmas, probably January, February. So I go to the 2023, and I said, oh, there you go. Adames, good defender. Bregman, good defender. And look, obviously, it's more than 1 year, but it validates some of what I'm talking about. So to me, the real, and if you want to talk about swashbuckle spending, is you decide between your Adames and Bregman, and you have to take a bet on where the person is now and sustaining it versus the player that may, you know, emerge. With the history of Stearns and some of the smoke and fire, I think Adames might be the guy. Santander would provide another bat. Pete comes back to play first. You leave McNeil at second. You have Lindor at short. You have Adames at third. You got the Alvarez Torrens behind the plate. You got Nimmo on left. You got Siri in center. Taylor comes in for defense. You got Marte on the bench. You could still bring in, you know, Ventos is the DH. You could still bring Winker in kind of as a guy that, you know, maybe he could come off the bench a little bit. I don't know with Santander if that's realistic. I don't know if they want to take a chance on that, but you're going to need, I mean, you have Taylor as a backup. You really don't have a lot of spots for offense. Once you get your nine out there with Vientos DH, you got Torrens at 10, you got Taylor at 11, and then you got two more spots left. So you're going to do, you want to bring Iglesias back, that's 12, and then you got one spot, that's Marte 13. So probably there's no room for Winker if you bring Santander on. Unless you want to say, hey, you know, you got Marte, I'd rather have Winker than Marte. That's a possibility because, you know, maybe he's a good glue clubhouse guy. But how, you know, is he going to want to play? You know, that's a guy who's going to want to play. He's not going to want to sit on the bench and play a couple times a week. And then you could rotate, you know, hot hand, things like that. Lindor might be able to get some time off if Adames wants to move over to short for a day. Like, there is some benefits to a lineup like that. And it's actually going to be a lot below the tax threshold. Now, the lineup like that requires an improvement in pitching. So I'm not going to get into the bullpen because, like I said, getting into the bullpen's a losing battle because I do not see the Mets right now showing me behaviors where they want to spend big on another closer on the bullpen. They're showing a lot of value-driven behaviors with Dylan Covey, with Cabrera they just signed from Toronto, with, you know, Davinsky on a minor league deal. So who knows what's going to happen. You know, they have Diaz, you know, maybe Daniel Nunez, maybe they got some kids in the minors, maybe they convert somebody to the pen from the rotation. I'm not sure. You know, Buto, you know, what are they going to do with him? You know, that's always a possibility. So let's stay away from that. Right now, your rotation is Kodai Senga, David Peterson, Paul Blackburn, Tyler McGill. That will not get it done. We'll put Buto in there for argument's sake. Okay? We'll put Buto in there. I'm going to stay away from the bullpen. Now, the real question is, without Soto on this team, do you then play at the top of the starting pitching market with Fried and Burns? Now, I've said no all along. They clearly weren't interested in Snell. And let's face it, Burns comes with some risk. But with Snell getting $36 million, is it possible to get for 5 years? Is it possible to get Burns for 5 years, maybe around 200, 210, maybe get him around $43 million a year, keep him to 5 years, maybe a couple of options, and things of that nature? I don't know. It's interesting. It'll be interesting to see if they go that route. I would, on a five-year deal, I would be potentially interested in Burns. On a seven-year deal, I'm not, even if the AAV is lower. I'd rather higher AAV, getting into that Scherzer territory or that $40 million a year territory in less years. That's my prerogative. And then you bring back Manaea, you bundle him with Burns. Then you have Senga. Then you have your Peterson, your McGill. Then you have your maybe Buteau as depth or a swing guy like a Trevor Williams at that point. And then you ask yourself, are you willing to go and bring in another arm? Do you bring back your innings guys like a Quintana, or do you, or Kyle Gibson is a name that's been out there. He's an innings guy, league average. Maybe Quintana is a little bit better than league average. Or do you do what you did last winter with Severino and Manaea, and maybe you do that with Walker Buehler? Now, Walker Buehler, Heyman thinks he gets a two-year, $40 million deal. That could be true. I mean, he's got that pedigree. You're taking a chance because he's coming back from Tommy John. You got to do your health check. I don't think he's going to... I mean, he's more of a guy that if it starts to get where a team, let's say like a team that comes out of nowhere, I'm just throwing a name out, Detroit, who feels they're near another starter away from contending, throws a four-year deal out, guaranteed money for Buehler. I don't do that. I'd rather go in and possibly see what's a Jordan Montgomery salary dump look like. What does Severino look like? Does Jerry DePoto, if there are prospects that I don't like, is Jerry DePoto interested in trading Luis Castillo? You know? There's obviously Garrett Crochet out there. I'm not a big Garrett Crochet guy, but again, we had Ernie Dove on last week, and the more we look at the Mets' behaviors with how they protected or lack of protection of prospects, maybe David Stearns doesn't like what's out there. Now, does the rest of the league not like it? That's a different story. So to me, if you don't get Burns and you stay away from that, then you go for quantity. You go Manaea, you go Eovaldi, you go maybe Walker Buehler, maybe you even bring back Severino. You start to say, okay, I got a lot of really good pitchers, and then I'll step back and see who evolves in the market. You know, maybe the Astros are out of it and Framber Valdez becomes available. Maybe somebody else becomes available. You never know. You don't have to spend the money this offseason. See, that's what's going to happen with Soto potentially not coming here. Everybody's going to say, spend. I want now. I want to win the winter. Cohen, you need to do this. Like, that's not good business. That's not roster building. It's not. You know, and there's always going to be, like, even on the offensive side, you're hearing names like Arenado that could become available. Sonny Gray. Does Sonny Gray want to even come back to New York after he had a bad experience with the Yankees? I mean, Cashman didn't seem to think he was a New York guy. Does that even play in that? By the way, I like an Eovaldi. I mean, I like Severino too. And to me, you know, he was disappointing in the Dodgers series. But this is a guy that, you know, takes the ball and typically keeps you in ball games. You know, I think at that point you got to look at what Severino's getting, the health, Eovaldi's getting. Like, this will be interesting. These old guys are going to get, Severino probably will get the least of everybody. Eovaldi's probably going to, he was getting 20, he turned down 20 from Texas. He's going to get more. Do you go out and trade for Jordan Montgomery for 1 year? I mean, even, like, I even proposed, and I don't know if they would do this, if it's a salary dump, would you want to get a reunion with DeGrom? With DeGrom, I mean, he's got a no trade. I don't think that would happen. But there's all these teams that might want to dump players. Now, one name, and this goes more on the offensive side as we kind of wrap up here a little bit, is Carlos Correa. And I saw that name float around today for the Dodgers. I saw the Mets name come up. Who the hell knows where that's coming from? But after 2 years ago, the nonsense and the bad physical. However, and I'll go back to, and I'll wrap up on this. I'll go back to the offense here. Correa's making about $30 million a year. I don't know what they would want. Is it a salary dump by Minnesota or they're looking for prospects? He only played 86 games last year, but he was vintage Correa in those 86 games. Had one of the better years of his career in those 86 games. My problem is he ever going to be able to play 135, 140 games ever again? Because if you're going to give up prospect capital and pay him $30 million. Now, his contract is reasonable. You're only going to have him because there's team options, and there is some ways those team options trigger after 2028. You're only going to have him for 4 years. So he may be a better value dollar-wise than an Adamas or a Bregman who are going to go more like 7 years. So it'd be interesting on that. And then maybe you do Pete, Correa, Vientos back to DH, Lindor at short, and then you figure out maybe Santander. If you think because Correa's making all this money, you want to dial back, you do the Winker, Marte situation, or you see what's available as a value signing. I know I haven't even brought up Teoscar Hernandez, but I almost feel like he's an inevitability with him going back to the Dodgers. I know that Michael Conforto's name has come up. I'm not sure I like those kind of reunions, things like that. So there are options. Correa is an interesting option, and obviously that's a trade. So whether it be Arenado, Correa, do you want to take on these contracts? Is there anything left in these guys? I think Arenado's done his decline over the last couple of years. So that's interesting. So, you know, where would I go? I kind of like my Santander, Bregman / Adamas, Pete, stick with Lindor, McNeil, move Vientos to DH, Nimmo in left, Sirian center, Alvarez and Torrens behind the plate. I like that one. And then I like if it's a 5-year deal with no Soto. If Soto's on the team, I'm not going the Burns route. I like looking at Burns with Manaea. And then either trading for a salary guy like Jordan Montgomery or perhaps signing a Severino Eovaldi along those lines and then teaming them with Senga. And with Senga in the rotation, you might need 6 starters. You got Peterson, you got Buto, you got Sproat. Maybe you could still trade for somebody. Maybe you trade for somebody. And look, it doesn't stop you from getting waiting the winter out and seeing what a Quintana market or a Kyle Gibson market goes to get your veteran on the back end and play it that way. You have Blackburn. You have guys that could do your 4-5. You could figure out 4-5-6. You have some depth then with your kids. You know, depending if Hamill and Vasil ever develop and are still around, you have Sproat. You know, one of the things that saved the Mets is they had some depth when Peterson came back, with McGill, when they got Blackburn, things like that. And the Mets were relatively healthy, and they still had, like I said, I think it was last week, they had to use 12 starters last year. I kind of like that. What do you think? I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to come out. It's going to get wild. The first domino is Soto. And the first option is Soto and Wright. And then at that point, if you have Soto and Wright, then you could figure out, you know, where do you want to go with third? Do you want to team him up with trading for Correa? Obviously, I think the next priority would be Pete Alonso, you know, teaming Soto with Pete. Do you keep Vientos at third and then do a value at the DH with Winker and Marte? That's a possibility. I mean, Winker probably is going to ask for 2-year deal, $30 million, $24 million-ish. You could save some money there. And then obviously Marte's contract would be up at the end of the year and $20 million comes off the book. So there's a lot of different ways. I think the Corbin market will depend on the years. I'm not so interested in Fried. And then once those guys are off the board, everybody's kind of like, you know, when you get to Eovaldi and Severino and making deals, like you have to work on what your projections are and the kind of pitcher they are. And what you think those guys can give you next year, and if it's multi-years for whatever the 2 or 3 or 4 year deal. So that's where you're at. So that's where my mind is at with the Mets. I haven't even thought about any big bullpen arm. Maybe there's one of those that they'll pluck at the winter meetings. I have my doubts. I think the Mets are going to play fast and loose with the bullpen and spend their money on the rotation, on the offense. I can't criticize them. They're going to have to cut some corners elsewhere. I just hope they can figure out the 7th and 8th inning in a better way than they did this past October. Maybe Ryan Stanek comes back. Maybe Maton comes back. Maybe Daniel Nunez is an option. We'll see. So that's all I got for you. We're really warming up here for the winter meetings. I hope this post-Thanksgiving show was everything that you hoped for. I wanted to give you something after the holidays to get you ready for a big week ahead. So how's it going to work? Well, here's what we're going to do. I am going to see what kind of Twitter spaces we can do this week. I do want to do a Twitter spaces. And when Soto decision comes down, I'm probably going to do a Twitter spaces within a day. We'll figure out how that works out. I am going to plan on doing Twitter Spaces during the winter meetings. I don't know how those are going to work. They may be later in the night, maybe at like a 9, 10 o'clock. I'm not sure. Bear with me. I'll let you know. And then we'll definitely have shows and emergency shows as well. As always, continue to go to Beyond the Mic and, you know, look at what kind of other content. We try to use Beyond the Mic as the additional premium content to give you other thought-provoking things, not just a reiteration of what we talked about here on the show. So I still owe you a Trash or Treasure. I was waiting for that. I gave you some non-tenders. I really think the non-tender list with a Jordan Romano or someone like that, maybe some Secrets to the Bullpen. Look at that. If you're a subscriber to Beyond the Mic, I gave you some interesting bullpen names on that list that may not cost as much as going after a Tanner Scott or Jeff Hoffman or something like that. So we're ready to go. I'm ready for the winter meetings, guys. I really am. I'm pumped. I'm ready to go. I hope you are. Don't get crazy with all these Soto rumors. Sit back. Look, take the Red Sox seriously, like I said in the open, but you can't drive yourself crazy. And here's my message to you on the way out here. There is life without Soto for the Mets. There is life with Soto with the Mets. There's challenges with both of these pathways. If they don't get Soto, there is a bit of an indictment on closing for the Mets. If they lose out to the Red Sox, I think there are things that, again, are out of the Mets' control, similar to Yamamoto. And we'll talk deeper about that if and when that happens. If they lose out to the Yankees, it's a bigger blow, in my opinion, because it's more of an indictment on the Mets, that there's not a belief in them right now, because I think it's an obvious choice if the money is the same to come to the Mets. I think the Mets have a much brighter and fun future, but that's just me. I'm biased, of course, so we'll see. Now, if he goes to the Tampa Bay Rays and plays at Steinbrenner Field, I mean, then, like, go out your window and pigs are probably flying. I hate to say it. If he goes to Toronto and he wants to pay those taxes, then clearly, you know, maybe that's a situation where he wants to be the man for the entire country, and maybe that's something that he wants to be with Vlad Guerrero Jr. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that. I'm sorry. So we'll see that. But anyway, thanks for everybody for tuning in. Hope you have a great Thanksgiving. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You get me on X at TalkingMets, no G, and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com, no G. Mike Silva at TalkingMetsPodcast.com. You can hit me on Instagram, TalkingMets, no G. And don't forget the newsletter for less than a cup of coffee every month. You can get me at Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to thank the good folks with Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. We'll be back with another Talking Mets podcast next week, maybe sooner. Juan Soto, come to us, right? Juan Soto, let us know what's going on. Till then, take care, everybody.